All right. Well, I love it when Grace is excited. I do. Okay, I would like for you to turn, please, to the Epistle of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1.
We need another Bible. You want me to steal one for you?
We do have a... We got a Bible around here somewhere. Yes, we do. We're going to look at a section of the Word that I think to many of you is familiar. One of the most thrilling things, just for me, is when I read God's Word and I see something I never saw before. And that's something I always pray when I read God's Word, because it's easy just to, like, you know, fall into it. You're just like reading, you know, remembering what you know about this or that. But when I read, a lot of times I just pray, Father, I want to read with new eyes. And, you know, God is so wonderful, so amazing. Because you want to do this kind of thing with your Heavenly Father, because it's His Word. And I want you to keep that in mind as we read some of these verses. I really want to get down to verse 13. And that is where we're going to spend a little time this morning. But it's hard to pick a place in Ephesians 1 to start, so we're going to start with verse 1, which gives us a really beautiful start into some of these things. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. You know, this phrase, heavenlies, heavenly places, it says in King James. It's used 4 times in the Epistle of Ephesians. And, you know, we are seated in the heavenlies. But when you get to Ephesians 6, it sort of gets clear that it is speaking of, I mean, a lot of commentators handle this as heaven, but it's the spiritual realm. And what we're reading here are things that have been done, things that have been accomplished, and things that are set in the spiritual realm. And where we're going to go is that we're going to see that God's clear desire for each one of us is to get to a place where we believe and receive to manifest these things in the physical realm. So, these things are set in the heavenlies, in that spiritual realm. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, or without blemish, before Him. And then the next verse really should start with the words in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, or the placement as sons, by Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ accomplished what was necessary to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, His desire, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved one. Or that word accepted is to be highly favored. Isn't that beautiful? We are highly favored in the beloved one. It's referring to Christ, because we are in Christ. And that's something we want to remember as we read here. In whom, Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in him, meaning Christ is how this should read, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, we've read this verse a few times over these last few weeks regarding the kingdom of God, and that this is the end game here. This is where this is going to land. This is what God determined to do. And that day will come when all things will be made one in Christ. But we're going to read about in the meantime. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted, or first previously hoped in Christ, in whom you also, and the word supplied should be hoped, in Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's significant here that it's the phrase Holy Spirit of promise is used in light of its immediate context. This word sealed, it indicates ownership. It's used in Matthew 27, where they put the seal of the Roman government on the stone. That's Roman government property. Don't touch. Off limits. Apparently the angel wasn't too intimidated by that. But, you know, for men to see that, they belonged to the Roman government. It is used of Jesus Christ. And it's used of regarding believing on him. For him, Jesus Christ, has he sealed as the Son of Man, the Son of God. Isn't that something? You know, that was God's Son. He was sealed. Here it says we are sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. It's awesome. Verse 14. I'm not going to get into that quite yet, but verse 14, it says, which is, and that's referring back to this Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the deposit of our inheritance. Okay? And this word for earnest is only used two other times in God's word, and both times refer to the hope that we're going to be reading about here shortly. In 2 Corinthians 1, it says, who hath sealed us, regarding God, who hath sealed us and given us the earnest or the deposit of the Spirit in our hearts. And it's used in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest or the deposit of the Spirit. Okay? This is something that God did. So this Spirit of promise, which is the deposit, and this word earnest literally means a deposit as a guarantee of a full payment to come. That's what that means. We use it in the same way today. which is the earnest or the deposit of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. All of these things are going to bring great glory to God. His wisdom, His power. But that day of redemption, and the word redemption could be understood as it is the payment of a ransom. See? To free or to liberate by payment of a ransom. That day of redemption is future. We have been purchased, but it's something that we look forward to. That day of redemption when we will be gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the spirit of promise, which is the deposit of that which we have coming in the future. And that is what we're sealed with. We belong to God. Then it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus, your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. You know, these saints were participating in what God had done. These things are fruit of the Spirit, that believing, that love. And love unto all the saints, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Or it literally reads, making mention in my prayers. Now we're going to take a little look here. We're going to spend a little bit of time with this prayer. Verse 17. And, it's remarkable that this prayer is in the book of Ephesians, that it was written down by revelation. God told Paul by revelation to write this. And in doing this, it is showing what God's heart and what Paul desired for these saints. And in doing that, it shows what God's desire was for these saints. And if it's God's desire for these saints, it is God's desire for all saints. Okay? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is God's desire for His saints, for all that are in Christ. All that are in Christ. And I just want to take a minute with this verse. This word wisdom, you know what? Keep your finger here. I want to read this verse. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah. We're coming right back. Book of Isaiah. This is a prophecy regarding the Messiah and then the Christ, and then a little bit where we're going to, after where we stop, it goes into some future events that are ultimately going to happen. But I wanted to read you the first part here in Isaiah chapter 11. It says, and or but, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his roots. Jesse was the father of David. And this is regarding that promise made to David that the Christ would sit on the throne of David. Verse 2, and the Spirit, regarding this one that would come out of Jesse, regarding the Messiah, the Christ, and the Spirit of the Lord, shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear or the reverence of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the reverence of the Lord. And he shall not judge after or according to sight of his eyes, neither reprove or judge after the hearing of his ears. That's something. But verse 2, that spirit of wisdom and what? And understanding. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. We're reading something very similar regarding God's desire for all that are in Christ. Isn't that remarkable? Let's go back. That spirit of wisdom, verse 17, and revelation in the knowledge of him. This word revelation, it's a word that means to disclose, okay, or to reveal. We're not going to turn to these, but it's used in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, in the prophecy of Zacharias, I believe it was, regarding the Christ. And it says that he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's that word, revelation. To lighten, to reveal. See? Isn't that something? It's the word that's used in Romans chapter 8. The whole creation is waiting with anticipation for the manifestation, the revealing of the sons of God, the disclosing. Isn't that beautiful? See, where it's manifested, where it's fully revealed. That's this word, revelation. It's used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. When he returns, it says, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. It is a full revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That's this word. So it's that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that revealing, that disclosing. In the knowledge of him. And that word knowledge is, you could translate it acknowledgement. It's that word epigenosis. And I'm taking time with these words, and I think you'll get blessed. This word acknowledgement is that it's a full knowing. It's a thorough knowing that, to the end that it has an impact on the knower. Okay? And we're going to see why that's important here. Because we're talking about that knowledge that comes from God. Knowledge that comes by way of spirit. Do you understand? And it has that, it's a thorough knowing. It says then in verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding. Okay, we know that understanding doesn't have eyes. Right? Okay. And it's really a beautiful figure. With the use of the word eyes and the use of the word understanding. It's eyes, and the word for eyes is literally eyes. It's eyes. What do you do with eyes? You see. You see. Understanding is put for where that understanding happens, where it takes place. It's literally, you could translate this word, deep mind. Deep thoughts. Deep thoughts. Isn't that something? But it's referring to the heart, which is how most translations translate this. It is the eyes of where understanding takes place. The eyes of your heart. Now we know from God's word that it's out of the heart that proceed the what? The issues of life. So what we're talking about here is a prayer revealing God's desire that the eyes of our heart are enlightened. You know what enlightened means? Plain, lit up. Oh, I see it. That's what this is talking about. That's God's desire for the saint, for every saint. So, it's the eyes of the heart being enlightened. That word enlightened is to illuminate, to make clear, or evident. This enlightenment that is being spoken of here is enlightenment that takes place in the heart. Absent the knowledge that comes from God by way of Spirit, what we're talking about here doesn't happen. Then you've got three things listed. Okay? So this is what God wants. He wants our heart to be illuminated, our heart to see it. Okay? One, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. We know from God's word that our future is utterly secure. I can read regarding my hope in Romans chapter 5, at the beginning of chapter 5. And that hope will not disappoint. It will not be disappointing. You know, in the epistles of Peter, it says to put all your eggs in this basket. See? In that hope. I can read in Romans 8 regarding my hope. I can read 1 Thessalonians regarding my hope. How we're going to be gathered together with the Lord Jesus Christ. How that we will forever be with Him. I can read in 1 Corinthians 15 about the hope. How that if I'm alive, if we're alive at the time of that return, that these corruptible bodies will put on incorruptible bodies. Bada bing, bada boom. And we're going to meet. See? Those who are asleep in Christ, who are secure in Christ, will be raised from the dead. With new bodies. Bodies fashioned like unto His glorious bodies. I can read all of that. But what this verse is talking about, it is talking about an enlightening taking place in my heart. I can know what the Word says. But for it to be in my heart, for that enlightening to take place in my heart, is different. It's more. The simplest example I can think of for this, for what I'm talking about here, is it's the record, and I believe it's in Matthew. And it's where Jesus Christ asked his men, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some of them say John the Baptist. Some of them say you're Elias." And then he said to Peter, he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus Christ said to him, "Flesh and blood has not showed this to you, right? But my Father, which is in heaven." Had Jesus Christ been told that Jesus was the Son of God? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. Come on, Peter, we found the Messiah. He'd been with Jesus Christ. He'd heard Jesus Christ say. But his response, when he gave that response, Jesus Christ said, the Father showed you this. It was in his heart, man. Do you understand? It was like, ah, he is the Son of God. You know? Do you ever have moments like that? Where there was something in God's Word and you just, oh, I got it. That's God's desire. And it's not, it's a desire that it's not like a once in a while thing. See? That's his desire. That you might know the hope of your calling. See? That you might know it. You know, one of the great tragedies in our culture, I think, in Western culture in general, is we have this concept of spiritual and secular. You know? But the reality is that what we are in Christ, who we are in Christ and what we have, is all of life. It's what we do, it's how we live. And we arrange our lives in light of this that we're reading. That's a big deal. And for me to do that, honestly, it's got to be something that's in my heart. Do you understand? Because out of it proceed the issues of life. It becomes how you see things. It becomes how you weigh things. It becomes how you deal with things. Because your heart's been enlightened. It's more than just a knowing. And then it goes on. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the who? Saints. You know, I can read about my worth. I can read how that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. I can read how my sins are forgiven. But what is being revealed here in what we're reading is that God desires that the eyes of my heart are lit up. See? And it's that wisdom and that revelation. It is a revealing. God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He never stops. He never stops. He's always working in you. He's faithful. You know, we may take a look at some things that we can do to really set an environment for our lives, for our hearts, where, you know, you know, where the distractions, the just the things that go on in life just cloud it and make some of these things more difficult than they need to be to understand. And look at, I'm in this with you. You know, I want to grow in this. I want this more consistent in my life. So the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Another way to state this, really simply, really is what you're worth to God. Your importance to God. That is revealed to you in your heart. That you really get it. You know, 1 John says, beloved, now are we the what? Sons of God. now, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You know, but when He appears, we're going to be what? We're going to be like Him. But we're sons of God now. It's just remarkable, and this was all done in Christ. And because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, one of these desires of God is that my heart is enlightened to the inheritance He has in us, in me, in you, in all of us. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's amazing what He's done. He's made us favorable, pleasant in His sight by the work of Jesus Christ. So that's His desire for us, that goes on in the heart. And then verse 19, it says, and what is, I mean, this is one of those things that makes your head explode. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? That's the standard. And then it's going to go on to describe, to give a little illustration, to more accurately describe or more pointedly describe this power that is being spoken of here. But before we read that, stop and think about this, that the eyes of our heart are enlightened, that this is something that is revealed in our heart, this exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Again, these are things I can read about. These are things, but there is a heart thing that God desires for each one of us. See? And it's a going to Him. It's a communing with Him. And He's so willing. We'll read a little bit about this next week. But He's so willing to do this because He loves us. You know? And it's available to get to the place in the heart where it's a done deal. You know, Paul, what an example. And here he is by revelation. God's telling him, write down this prayer book. Look at the example of Paul. There's a place in Corinthians where he says, I know of nothing of which I'm guilty. He who judges me is the Lord. That was real. That was truth. Isn't that something? You know, that record in Acts where he ended up on that island, the island of Mileto or whatever it was, and he was collecting firewood and the snake came out of the fire, boom, bit him. You know, and he was in the middle of a situation where he had disobeyed God. The first words out of the native's mouth, oh, he's a murderer. God is not going to allow him to live. He just sat there. Then he ended up healing the head of the island. That's heart stuff. Do you understand? Yeah. The time, you know, oh yeah, God loves me. Okay, you know, you get bit by the snake. Oh yeah, God loves me. He loves me. I know He loves me. I don't think that's how God wants us to live. Do you see what I'm getting at? See? We can live so that stuff is in our heart. It's our hearts are enlightened. It's like, you know, the best way I can explain it is just those moments where it's like, oh. You know? And you just begin to understand who God is and what He's done, and what our Lord Jesus Christ has really accomplished. You know, by His stripes I'm healed. Read that verse all day long. But there are things that can take place in a man's heart where it's, oh. This really is God's will. Do you understand? It's breathtaking when you read this. And this is stuff that God has opened the door to. And it's by nothing we've done. And then it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly realm. This power being described is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him far above. A new creation, a new kind of man, preeminent, never seen before. That's the kind of power we're talking about. And then set him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, world age, but also in that which is to come. Isn't that something? It kind of echoes back to what we read in Ephesians 1:10. That day will come when he'll bring all things together in Christ. And that put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all and in all. Christ in all and in all. I want you to, he is all and in all. I want you to turn to Colossians. Just flip a couple pages. Because this echoes what we read, what we just read here in Ephesians. And I think that it helps to it just helps to understand this a little more. I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel which has come unto you, as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit, as it does in you, also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. Yeah, that word knew is the same word as we read in Ephesians. It's that epigenosis. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled, that means filled to capacity, with the knowledge, that's that word acknowledgement, that has an effect. It's a knowing that has an effect on the knower. That knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Isn't that something? That's God working in you. That's that Spirit of God working in you and teaching you. That's God's desire. Then it says that, here's where it lands. In spiritual understanding, these things take place in the heart. You know who you are in Christ. You know God's love for you. You know this. You know the hope. You know that day's coming. Nothing can talk you out of it, ever. It's set in your heart. And that's where you stay. Then it says that now you might walk in balance with your calling. Isn't that something? Now I walk in balance with that calling. Worthy of the Lord. That word worthy is that word in balance with. The Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto or with a view to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. These words could be understood as it is a calm delight in the face of a storm. See? Because you know. You know the hope. You know your future's secure. See? You know my worth to my Heavenly Father. I know it. It's set in my heart. My heart's been enlightened. He's worked, he showed me that. Isn't that something? You know, it's just, it's all part of that relationship as sons of God and what God desires and what is available to each one of us as sons. This isn't a game. This is real. This is real. You know? And you know, and I tell you right now, boy, the world and culture is just boom, 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 trying to knock the door down. See?
Messed up.
But we can have that calm delight. We can know that we know that our God is who He says He is and that we are who He says He is. See? And have the peace that results from that. Not a mental exercise. I need to be peaceful. I need to be peaceful. I need to be peaceful. I need to be... You see it? So. Amen?
Amen.